Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
How many of you know that there's things happening in the kingdom that we don't know about, that we don't see? And I just love it because in this song it talks so much about, it really is the unknown for us, right? Walking into a fire, not knowing what's going to happen. A raging sea that should be able to toss us around and overpower. But He's behind it all. He has you through it all. And it's just amazing because it's regardless of what you're going through, you have a friend who stands next to you, a father, through everything. We get so excited about things in life, and it's just the little things. I got a new car, I got this, I got that. And it's something that really, like, this joy just comes. And you know, there's times where we even, like, holler for things, for games, for, I don't know, whatever it might be. We got a promotion, we got all these things, and we get so excited for them. But sometimes we can't even show excitement in our worship. Oh, man. He's the God that placed you exactly where you're meant to be. He died on a cross for you. He gave His one and only Son for you. Everything He's done in your life has been placing pieces together to bring you to a point that He created you for. To be the head and not the tail. To be above and not beneath. Because you're royalty in the kingdom. Man, and we can't jump a little. We can't holler a little because He's given everything for us and we can't give Him a little shout. We can't get excited for the things He's doing. We can't be excited that He's holding back the seas in our favor. It's something to get excited about. It's something to shout about. It's something to not hold back. Do you know that sometimes when we hold those things back, it may not seem like it. But when we hold them back, sometimes it really does hold us back. He's giving you something. He's placing something inside of you, and He wants you to want it. He wants you to burn, to hunger and thirst for the things that He's given you. He wants for you to press in. He wants for you to get excited. He wants you to not control it, to go straight after Him and say, I want more of you. I want to know more of what you're doing. I want more of what you're saying. I want more promises to stand upon. I want more because I can't. I don't want to stay where I'm at. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you're here, He has something for you. He's giving you something new. He's placing things in your life for a reason. If you're here, He's wanting to give you things in your life that you could never even dream of.
Everything that Rebecca said is true. He wants you to get up and shout and have such a wonderful joy about you. But the thing is, the Holy Spirit is going to guide you into it. You have to depend on the Holy Spirit. So as you in your heart, give Him permission to take you where you need to be. He is the one that's going to show you. It's not your ability. It's not your choice other than to say yes to Him. But you need to know that He loves you so much and that He's always with you and He will never leave you. And all He's saying, say yes, and I will give you the desire to want to stand up and shout and have the joy, because that's what the Holy Spirit's meant to be. He is here to change your life, not to keep it the same way, not to keep it in a stagnant area. It's like living water coming in you and flowing through you and giving you life everlasting. And the thing is, it's not up to you. It's up to the Holy Spirit. But you need to give him permission, because if you don't, it will never happen. So say in your own private time, say, yes, Lord. And if that's what you want to do, then ask him to go with you. Say, that's the first time I ever jumped and I ever danced with the Lord, was because I said, I can't do it. I can't do it, but I can do it with you. And I stepped out and he took my hand, and we are still dancing together in Jesus' name.
What Rebecca was saying is so true, and I did write this a couple weeks ago, and it's the appropriate time right now to read it. It's called, He Wants to Hear from You. God wants to hear from you, for you to notice his glory in the heavens. He wants to hear your voice, your hymn of praise. He wants you to rejoice for all the blessings that he gives, and to reach out to others so that you can tell them that you're his. Yes, you are his child, and he loves you, and he watches over all. He wants to hear your praise song, because he knows your call. You are his precious child, and he gave his life for you. That in itself should let us praise him all day through.
So I've been going through some stuff lately, and I'm sure there's probably people in here probably been going through some stuff. Anybody? and there's a verse that, like, probably a lot of us know pretty well. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And anybody who believes in Jesus, anybody who follows him, has been called according to his purpose. Now, is there anybody in here that likes working out? What's wrong with you? It could be painful, right? Now, I was going to say, I can't believe this is one of my favorite verses. But, you know, all scripture's good, right? It's amazing. But it's in James. And it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Pure joy. But you know what? I would say, like, in my younger days, there was times where I didn't know. Like, I would only search out God when I had a problem, not so much have a relationship with him at all times. And to read this now, I understand it so much better. And it says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That's that working out part. That's the hard part, is to actually have that faith that's going to carry you through whatever it is. Because we have to know that whatever it is we're experiencing, God is greater than it. He can overcome anything. And then it also goes on to say, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lack anything. So I would just say to make sure that whenever you face any kind of trial, you're doing it with God, and that you don't forget about him when it's over. And that when you face that trial, just know that God is there with you, and he's going to work everything according to his purpose. He's going to equip you for something greater. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to encourage others by what you've overcome. Thank you.
Yeah, basically, I'm coming to this church because of Pastor Henry. It's like when I had my twins, I had no one else to call. I had no way to get there to the hospital. And I came here one time. And I hadn't heard from him. I mean, I haven't called. He called me, but it'd been months. And I couldn't think of nobody else to call to get me to the hospital. So I saw Pastor Henry's number, and I called it. And he picked up, and I told him the situation. And without a hesitation, he was like, "Where you at?" And he came and got me, picked me up, took me to the hospital, and I made it just in time to see my twins be born. And he stayed there the whole time. And it just, me and him had a conversation on the way there, and I could just feel like something from him, like, you know, the aura around him was just good, you know. And so I've been trying to run away from this, you know. I come to church sometimes, don't come, then, you know, running away from it. But like right now, I'm almost losing my family because of myself. And, you know, things happen, and I talked to Pastor Henry, and I'm here right here today. This is where I'm here. And I'm ready to get, I'm going to get baptized and try to change my life, you know, because it's, I think it's about that time. It's been long enough, and I just want to say that real quick.
I want to go out on a joyful note and song, because we've just been standing here and we've talking about worship and worshiping through the hard things, right? And I just want to go back into good grace right now, because he's done so much for us, and his grace for us, it's those things, that outreaching to constantly pull. If we can just go back into this and just allow for that, those woes to even be a war cry in our life today, to be something that's just a cry out to him, God, I'm worshiping you regardless of the highs or the lows. Regardless of what's happening in my life, I'm worshiping you. Because that's what we, God, that's what we were created for. And he's going to do some amazing things, and is already doing some amazing things in our life.
Woo, hallelujah. Glory to God. God is doing some things. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Is he good? Is God good? Come on, is God good? Come on, do you love God? Give him a praise and a shout, if you will. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you, man. How'd you like my guitar?
It was
good. It was all right. Praise God. I got my guitar playing some real music this morning. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. How's everybody this morning? Praise God. You know what? Get up and shake somebody's hand real quick. Find somebody to shake their hand. Get up, though, and walk over and say, "Hello, I'm glad you're in the house this morning. God bless you." Hallelujah. Tell them, isn't God good? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, the title of my message this morning is "Your Best at Rest." Sit down. Come on. I don't want to say that. Have a seat. Have a seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're best at rest. Amen. Hallelujah. If you can learn how to rest in God, I'm going to tell you, I believe that the 2020 is a year of rest. Amen. Come on. You got to say amen with me. Come on. Amen. I believe God is calling his people to rest. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Amen. Hallelujah. How you like people that stay calm through all situations? How many know people like that? Does anybody know anybody like that? Yeah, come on, man. There's some folks that no matter what happens, they're calm. Is that right? Don't you love that? Can I tell you that most of the time, it takes a while to get to that point? Is that right? They have learned that getting excited and getting all fired up doesn't do them any good. Amen? Just know that. Getting fired up, getting excited, getting angry, it's not going to do you any good. Amen? Why not just trust God? Amen? Somebody slaps you on the cheek, give them the other one. Amen? Hello, and bam. Somebody, you know what? Somebody takes your coat. What? Give them your cloak also? What does it say? Just give it. Amen? You want that so bad? Here, take my shoes. My boots. Yeah, come on, man. Hallelujah. Everybody say relax. Relax. How many like resting? Does anybody really like resting? Do you like to go home and just take five and feel so good? Just to sit here in my couch. How many of you have your own couch? Anybody? I mean, your own chair? Anybody have their own chair? How many, just sit in my chair and just chill. How many of you? Look at your friend and say, chill. Chill. Hallelujah. Come on, man. We're gonna talk a little about Elijah. I mean, you guys like Elijah? Elijah the prophet. We're going to talk about him. And I believe he was a man of rest. Is that okay? He was a man that God could say something to. And I think, you know, and like all of us, you have to allow God to speak to you and speak to you and speak to you. And then after a while, you get it. You get, you know, God, you're never going to leave me, are you? You won't leave me alone, will you? Because, you know, he'll talk to you in good time. He'll tell you good things. And then when you're doing something wrong, he'll tell you bad things. How many of you know that? No, not many of you? Most, I mean, you know what? I have found if I'm doing something wrong, he tells me right away, hey, that ain't right. What are you doing, Hank? Because God will not leave you alone. Do you know that? He'll never leave you alone. He's going to come after you, and he's going to come after you. He's going to come after you. Hallelujah. You might be way out there, away from the fence, but he's going to come after you. He's going to find you where you're at, and he's going to speak to you. How many of you believe that? He's a good God, and he loves people. You know that? He loves people. Not just he loves people. He loves his creation, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would what? Not perish, but will have everlasting life. Isn't that good? He loves. So much so, he sent his Son to die for you. Look at your neighbor and say, he died for you. Look right back at him and say, yeah, he died for you too. He loves you. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful message, isn't it? God loves you. Who? God. God loves you. Me? Yeah, you. Even you. Where's my wife? Even you, Rosie. Yeah. Just kidding. I love my wife. She's awesome. Praise God. Let's go into 1 Kings chapter 17, if you will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, God is good. Oh, I enjoyed that this morning. Enjoyed the poem. Enjoyed the word that was coming out. Folks, this house is a little bit different house than what you might be used to. I believe God has been speaking to us that we will allow the body of Christ to minister to the body of Christ. Is that okay with you? Is it okay? Do you know that sometimes you might be sitting in the congregation and all of a sudden your heart starts beating and you're hearing a word? How many of you ever sense that? Your heart starts beating and you think you got to keep your mouth shut. And a lot of churches are doing that. They just say, hey, you guys, hey, just listen. Listen to him, and now you keep it. But that's not what this house is about, isn't that right, pastors? This house is about you, ministry of the body of Christ. You might have a message for somebody sitting over there, and they might have one for you. Is that okay? So that's what we do here. We allow the Holy Spirit. Folks, if there's anything I know, the Holy Spirit is the only answer for man today. Only answer. If the Holy Spirit's not in the house, what do you got? He spoke to me a while ago. He said, man, if there's no oil, there'll be no fire. And if there's no fire, there definitely will be no light. Do you realize that the candlestick of the Lord is in the building? And he's giving light unto the body of Christ. Is that cool? Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't believe it's just this church either. I believe God is calling churches all over. I believe the Holy Spirit is one. I mean, how many believe that the Holy Spirit has a mind of his own? Amen. It's his. It's who he is. I believe that God is speaking to churches all over. It's time for body ministry. One-on-one, one on the other. Come on. Ooh, I feel that. Everybody say amen to that, if you sense that. We're not here to raise men up. How many of you know that? We're not here to raise up men. We're here to raise up the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to shine the ensign, the flag of who he is in love, in truth. Hallelujah. It's not by might, it's not by power, but what? By my spirit, saith the Lord. Ooh, I don't know if I'm ever getting my message because God keeps putting things in my heart. Amen? Every day. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's one. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Kings chapter 17, starting at verse 1. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. God, we thank you for all that you do. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that is here to lead and guide. And Father, to place within the hearts of those hearing the desires that you have for them. We thank you for that, Father. So, Lord, each and every person that in this house, Lord, hearing the words, Father God, the scriptures, the testimonies, God, every ear, Father God, would receive that, what you're saying to them personally. In the name of Jesus, I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. 1 Kings chapter 17, starting verse 1, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Pretty confident guy, wouldn't you say? Stand up in front of a king. Guess what, king? It's not going to rain until I tell it to rain. That's crazy, isn't it? Probably Ahab probably think, who do you think you are, man? What? Ah, whatever. Just some old crazy loon. Amen. In tune with God. Amen. I love it where he says, "In the Lord God before whom I stand." Do you know it's important that you understand that you stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Do you understand that you stand in the presence of God? Do you understand that your presence carries weight no matter where you're at? Do you understand that you are a representative of the kingdom of God? Do you understand that? Hallelujah. And I think Elijah understands that very well right here. He says, "Hey, man, the Lord God before whom I stand," he said, "there won't be any rain until I tell it to rain." That's crazy. That's cool. I love the way it starts out. "And the word of the Lord came to him saying, Get thee hence." That means go, get out of here. "Turn thee eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook." And I like this. God says, "I have commanded the ravens to feed thee." So he did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass that after a while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. How many like this story? How many like ravens? I had 5 ravens waiting for me when I got here this morning. Maybe because they knew I was going to talk about these. There was 3 of them in here, and there was 2 of them on the... How many are around here, Pastor Pat? Do you know how many ravens are around here? 95? There's a lot of ravens around here, man. And maybe it could be they're bringing morsels of food for somebody. Hey, man, come on now. Listen, I had a guy tell me one time, he said, "You believe that story?" I said, "Yeah, I do. It's the word of God." Is it... You really believe that this man was out in the desert by himself and birds took him not just bread, but meat every morning and every evening, dinner time. The birds knew what time he ate. Isn't that right? Do you believe that? I said, "Absolutely, I believe that. I believe that's because you know what the word of God, you know, the word of God says that these things are written for our admonition." Do you know that? They were written so that we would understand that God is in control. He is, no matter what, no matter where you're at, he's in control. And if you just yield to that, and I think that's what I see this man doing. He's yielding to what God told him to do. Can I tell you right now, wouldn't it be kind of hard for you if God told you, "Hey, okay, I want you to go over there by the Santa Cruz, right by Valencia down there where there's always water." Is that right? You guys ever notice that there's always water on that curve where it hits that mountain? Right there, just stay there, and I'm going to command birds to feed you. Morning and evening. That's kind of weird, huh? Elijah says, "Yes, sir, I'm on my way." And that's what he did. I remember these ravens. A couple of friends of mine were at work. We were outside. We were talking about some things we were needing to do. And there was a pickup sitting there right in the parking lot. There was a pickup sitting there. And all of a sudden, you could hear all this stuff going on We look over, man, what's going on there, man? You know, nobody's in the truck, but can hear all this stuff happening. And then all of a sudden, a great big black raven jumps out and sits on the window. He's got a big old hamburger in his mouth. I said, oh, man, he got somebody's lunch. He's got somebody's lunch. That bird knew where to go. Hallelujah. He probably saw the Big Mac packages in the back of the bed, man. I said, oh, hey, I'm going to find me some food. Hallelujah. Isn't that crazy? It was just the coolest thing. That bird looked like he was proud with that hamburger. Yeah, man. I got a kick out of it. Reminds me, I love these birds. I really do. I used to kind of, hey, get out of here. Hey, but I started realizing that God uses ravens. Do you guys know that? He uses his creation, and it's cool. Do you love his creation? Do you take time to look at things and say, God, that's so nice. Isn't that cool? This morning on the way to, when I got up early, and the sun was just coming up, and there was clouds, and there was just a few clouds, and there was a full moon. How many guys saw? No, it's a full moon right now. And as I was driving down the road, the clouds had this beautiful purple tint to them. And right on the tips, it looked pink. Oh, and then the blue sky coming down, touching them. And then right in the middle, there's this great big spotlight. The full moon was there. And it's just beautiful. And I said, Lord, how nice. How beautiful is this sight? I wonder how many people are actually stopping and say, man, praise God. This is the day he's made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Hallelujah. Do you know his mercies are new every morning for you? Do you know that he knows all the stuff that you're doing? Do you know that? Do you get it? That he knows it all. And he's placed you, he's called you to come into this house here so he can speak to you a little bit, so he can touch your heart, so that you can be, so you move forward with a different attitude instead of the attitude you've been carrying. How many of you know we get caught up in some bad attitudes? Is that right? But God knows what's going on in your life, and he wants to speak into your life. He wants to touch you. Hallelujah. And here just so happens that Elijah is the vehicle that's taken Israel to come back to God. Even though it hasn't been said yet, this is God's vehicle. He's using Elijah. He told him, tell the king you're going to stop the rain. And it stopped raining. And he's sitting by the brook that God told him to sit by, and the ravens will be feeding him. And guess what happens? The brook dries up. Isn't that crazy? Whose fault was that? Well, that was his fault. He said, man, it's not going to rain anymore. So guess what? The brook dries up right in front of him. It dries up. It says, God, now what? Let's go here. Let's read that. Let's continue. And it came to pass, verse 7, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. Pretty cool, isn't that right? You know what I like about Elijah? Can I say that he saw that the brook was drying up? He saw that it dried, that all of a sudden now there's no more water in this brook. He goes, God, you know what? But it doesn't say he got up and left, does it? He waited for the word of the Lord, and God said, okay, go to Zarephath, because I've commanded a woman to. See, this is a thing. This is something about that I believe that God wants us to realize that he really does know your situation. And he says, if you allow me to, if you'll listen for me, I will speak to you in your situation and tell you where you need to go. Isn't that cool? Because he loves you. And he's not going to turn loose of you. Situations around us can look bad. It looked bad to him. He says, God, the water is gone, man. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Doesn't say how long it took God to answer that. What do you want me to do? Then God speaks, hey, go to Zarephath. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, it's weird. I mean, yeah, you like that word. No. Anyway, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God lives, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it. And listen to what she says, and what? And die. Isn't that crazy? Here's a woman that is down and out. Amen. She's got nothing. She's gathering sticks because she's got a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal to cook one last little meal. And then you got this ugly prophet that shows up. Amen. And says, hey, man, cook me. Give me a little cake to eat. She goes, I ain't got nothing. And the prophet, that doesn't shut him down, does it? Because watch what he says. Watch what he tells her. Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. How many is that? Make me, how many got to, hey, feed me first. Anybody in your house do that? My kid, my grandkids. Hey, I want to eat first. Hey, feed me first, bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. It's apparent to me that, you know, the word of God says that he says, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you. It's surprising to me that lady didn't recognize that God, she had been commanded. How many know, you hear what I'm saying? She didn't know. She says, hey, we're going to eat, and then we're preparing to die here. This is our last supper right here. We're just going to die. Can you give us a break? You want to eat first? Come on. But the prophet knew that was a lady that God said she's going to sustain you. Yeah. This is a man that I believe is a man of rest. He knows what God said. He heard what she said. Didn't matter to him. Yeah, make me a cake. It's cool. Sounds rude, but see, he's a man of rest. He's a man of God, and he knows what God has said. He has heard the voice of the Lord and said, go. And so he went. And when he saw her, he spoke to her. And then he tells her this, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house and did eat. What? Many days. Amen. How much did they eat? Don't know. But I think they were probably eating some pretty good food then. Because that barrel of meal, man, all of a sudden there's all sorts of meal. That cruse of oil, there's all sorts of oil. And it says, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Can I tell you that God is doing this? Is that right? It is God that's working this out. The words that he spoke to her were the words that God gave him to speak. Hallelujah. That's the way it is still today. Amen. Don't say nothing unless God gives you something to say. Amen. I don't think you can bear a big amen out of that. Keep quiet. Are we in a world of talkers today? Isn't there voices all over talking and talking and talking and talking? Isn't that right? People, everybody's got something to say. Is that right? Is it all good? It's not all good. Is it all bad? It's not all bad. But if you're in the habit of listening to people, I will tell you this morning, be careful. Because you need to get in the habit of listening to what God has to say. It will bring rest to you. It will cause you to rest. It will give you confidence in everything that you do if you listen for God. Because that's where that prophet stood before Ahab, the king, who could kill him, and said, it's not going to rain till I tell it's going to rain. The confidence that he had came from his personal time with his father, with who he was. So that confidence, it's got to carry us. Amen? You better be listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you personally. Forget about all the stuff around it. Just listen all around you and just listen for him. Say, God, what are you saying to me? Where are you leading me? I could try to take you by the hand and say, man, you know what? You're right here. You know, I want you to go over to the high school and I want you to win all those kids to the Lord and get down there and do it now. And God's telling them, hey, you know what? I'm telling him that he needs to stay on his knees, that he needs to pray for the house. I'm telling, and here I am telling him, get down to the high school. See, we have to hear what God is saying. This is a one-on-one. One-on-one, you and God. Because it's in that relationship that God's going to speak to you and you're going to know exactly what he wants you to do. And you're not going to be doing things because of your feelings or because I'm hired or none of that. It is because God has said, this is what I want you to do. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that cool? How many believe that's where we need to be? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? I believe that, man. God is directing his body. He really is. That's why it puts a relief on me. You could blame me for everything. You can. But Brother Henry doesn't do this. But Brother Henry doesn't do that. Brother Henry said, Brother, you can stand before God. And you know, when God says, okay, why should I let you in my kingdom? Well, because Brother Henry said. I might be in the crowd and say, what? Hey, it's not me. It's what God says to you. It is your relationship with God. That's why we preach here, right? That's why we preach independently dependent upon God. You depend on him always and first. Always depending on God. Not cool? And I believe that's what Elijah did. It was a rest for him. He rested in those things. He wasn't excited about birds feeding him. How many of you be excited about birds feeding him? Where'd you get this? I don't know where this has been. The bird will take, just eat it, man. God told me to bring it to you. Just eat it. See, man, it tastes like chicken. It's got meat. It brought him, the Bible says it brought him meat. Where did that come from? Just eat it. Praise God. Isn't that crazy? God's got some crazy people. How many say amen? Amen. Look at your friends. Say amen. Amen. Come on, man. God's got some crazy folks, man. I remember my mom told me, she told our family, she goes, I'm not cooking for taste anymore. I'm cooking for health. Oh, my God. Isn't that right, Yolanda? We all looked at each other and said, oh, no. And it tasted that way. It didn't last long. She started cooking again. Praise God. Let's go on with the story. It says, in verse 17, it came to pass after those things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. It's a good thing she's got a man of God in her house. Amen. And it says, and she said to Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Are you come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Elijah, what? And he said to her, give me your son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him on his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? God, what are you doing? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, oh God, oh my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. How many say amen? The Lord heard his voice. Amen. And the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son's living. Come on, man. See? I love it, man. Your son lives. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. By this? By that? That was the hardest thing she could ever experience. How many say amen to that? It was a very difficult thing for her to go through. But did she not remember the oil? or the meal? Did she forget about that? She goes, oh, now I know you're a man of God. Oh, no. She's just saying, hey, man, I am convinced. I know without a doubt that you are a man of God. Amen. Hallelujah. See, he was a man of rest. He really was. He trusted the Lord. Rest is a trust. Is that right? Last Wednesday night, we talked about trust. It's important that we trust God. How far do you trust him? Can you trust him with your children to go to the military? Can you trust God? Can you trust him? Yes, you can. What about when something flies up in your face right now? Are you trusting him? Do you have a rest that's within you where you say, hey, it doesn't look good, but I have a God that I serve, and he knows all about it. Do you ever respond that way? God, can I tell you, it's important that you understand who you are in this kingdom. You are a child of God. You belong to him. And everything that goes on in your life, he knows all about it. He sees everything. Can I tell you that? He's not in the dark. He knows it all. He knows even the thoughts that you're thinking before you say them. Can I tell you that? Isn't that cool? That's the God we serve. Hallelujah. I want to give you the power verse this morning. The verse is this. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Everybody say, ah, rest. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is telling us right here, learn about me, and guess what you're going to have? The rest will begin to come upon you. How many of you have rested before, but you really can't rest? You ever done that? You ever been in such a trial that you just cannot rest? Come on. I'll tell you that God sees it, and he wants to give you rest. And he says, come to me. This is what Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. There's only one place that you can rest. Trust. It's going to Jesus. Allow him to have your situation. Just like that woman allowed Elijah, he said, give her to me. Give him to me. And she gave him her son. You say that. It's not as easy as you think it is. She handed him. She gave it to him. And see, God is Jesus saying, hey, what do you need? Come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll show you. I'll show you how to take care of it. I will help you. I will help you. Do you know that Elijah, let me just tell you this. Elijah the Tishbite, his name is Elijah. Eli means God. Jah is a sacred Jewish name for God. So you can say it's God, God. But Eli also means strength, mighty, and almighty God. So you could say, this is, and Jah is God. So you could say his name is the strength of God. Elijah's name. But I really like his last name. How many like last names? You don't like last names? Every one of you have one. That's crazy. So everybody's like, nah, I don't like that. Hey, you know that my last name is Ayala? If you look it up in Hebrew. Yeah, it's not there. Oh. It's kind of a female deer. That's what it means. Ayala. Yeah. Can I tell you, when my daughter was playing basketball in high school, I was saying, Lord, you've given her deer. You've given her feet as hinds feet. Isn't that what the word of God says? He's given you feet as hinds feet. Lord, you've given her feet like hinds feet. Cause her to jump higher than anybody else. Cause her, Father, because of Ayala. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, whatever. You ever go, shut up. Whatever. I like his last name. His last name is Tishbite. Well, that's not his last name, but they called him Elijah the Tishbite. The word Tishbite is actually describing a town that is Tishbeth. But the word means recourse. And I had to look it up in the website. Okay, give me an explanation for the word recourse. And it says, a source of help in a difficult situation. Isn't that right? Isn't that what God is? Isn't he a source of help in a difficult situation? He is. He says, I'm here for you. Doesn't matter what you've done. He says, I'm here for you. Hallelujah. A source of help in a difficult situation. Oh, that's my God. That's the one I call upon. Amen. Hallelujah. Elijah. I need to take you to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, because we're talking about God bringing us into rest. And praise God. Hebrews chapter 4. And you can read Hebrews chapter 3 talks a lot about God telling the folks, man, I wanted them to enter into my rest, but they didn't. They could not enter in my rest. Why? Because they would not mix faith with the word of God, what God had told them. God had told them quite often that he goes, I am taking you to a promised land. I will take you there. You will not have to, you just go in. These folks will flee from you, or the battle, you will prevail in battle, but I will take you there and I will fight your battles for you. Just believe me. When the spies went out and looked at Canaan, they came back, they brought a big old chunk of grapes, it was one bunch. Is that right? Bunch. And they were carrying it on a stick in between two guys. They're bringing it in. Hey, man, check out the grapes, man. Are you at Safeway? No, man. We're in Canaan. Look at the grapes, man. Look at them. But they said, but there's giants over there. They're big. We're like grasshoppers to them. Caleb and Joshua, shut up. We can go in, Moses, we can do it. Oh, no, man. Hey, it's a rough deal. No, we won't win. These guys, man, no, they got fortified cities and all these other things. Caleb, shut up. That's my part. I like thinking that they're telling them, won't you guys shut up? Keep your mouth shut, like Pastor Henry said. You know, we defeat ourselves by the things that we think. Do you know that? We step into stuff that where God says, I promised you that. I promised you these things. But they wouldn't mix their faith with what God had said. Therefore, they could not go in. God said, man, hey, can't let them in. They will get destroyed. Out of their own mouths, they'll be destroyed. I can't let them in. So he walked them around. But can I tell you something? That God knew it was going to happen. Do you know that? Are you confident that God knows things before they happen? Do you know that? The Word of God says those things were written for our admonition, so that we would learn something, that they did not mix their faith with what God had said, therefore it did them no good. You got to mix your faith with what God is saying to you. You have to. The Word of God has been given you. Get it and open it every morning. Say, God, what are you saying to me? Show me what you're saying. And can I tell you, when you got a heart that's hungry like that, he's going to show you things. You're going to see things that you've never seen before. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Do I need a chair? Okay. Thank you, brother. Hebrews starting at chapter 4. At verse 1, the Word of God says, I'm going to read it in the New King James because it says it really cool. I really like the way it says it. Can I tell you, how many, you know, there's people out there that tell you, well, the Sabbath day is Saturday. Well, the Sabbath day is Sunday. Sabbath day, I mean, say, you know what? I get it. I understand what you're saying and I understand where you're coming from. But the day of rest is right now. Is that right? The day of rest is now. It's not a certain day. It's now. Is that okay? Because you can see it. Watch this. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. I mean, one of the things, entering to rest is something that's very, very important to you. So he says, fear if you can't get in there. There's got to be something going on, so you need to find out what it is. He says, but if any of you come short of it, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. But we are entering in his rest. How many say amen to that? Are you glad that you can enter into the rest of God? Because Jesus says, learn of me. How many of you have been learning about Jesus? I mean, God got Jesus to learn of me, and I will give you rest. And that's the opening, the doorway to rest is Jesus, and he's opened it wide open for you. Come in. Let me speak to you. And they said, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. I want you to look at that little phrase right there. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Do you see what it says there? God's calling you into his rest. But that rest began since the foundation of the world. Do you understand that? Do you see what it's saying? They shall, he says, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now check this out. He says, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this wise, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. How many say amen? Do you guys remember that? He rested from all his works on the seventh day. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Because they wouldn't mix it with faith, right? Okay, so he says, since therefore it remains that some must enter in, to those to whom it was first preached, did not enter in because of disobedience. Can I tell you, disobedience will keep you from resting securely. Is that right? I will tell you, sometimes people say things that, honey, you just can't do everything that you think you can do without having some kind of consequences with it. Sin is a consequence. Jesus, the Bible says that God has washed your sins away. But if you continually pursue it and pursue it and pursue it without a heart that is saying, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry, but you continue to pursue it. Can I tell you, don't be misled. God sent his son for a reason. To remove those things from you. But if you hold on to it, you're holding on to it and releasing God. Can I say that to you? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You got to hold on to God and release those things that he's showing you, because there are consequences for it. The Bible says that in heaven, there are no adulterers. In heaven, the thieves are on the outside. They're not there. So we've got to be very careful. Yes, God is love. Yes, he's love. He loves you dearly, but he's also a God of justice. Is it just for his son to die for you and you continue in what you've been doing? Is it just? It's not just. And he's a just God. Oh yeah, he's a loving God, but he's also very, very, very fair and just. So be careful. Amen. I don't even know why I got into that. I'm talking about rest. Come on, man. But listen, hey, Holy Ghost knows what he's doing. I'll say, he says this, since therefore it remains that some must enter in, to those whom it was first preached did not enter in because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day. He's talking about God spoke once, and then again, he designates a day through David. David says this. This is quoting David in the Psalms. He says this. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today. Everybody say today. Today. Everybody say today. Today. What? Tomorrow? Today. Today. Not yesterday, right? Today. Today, after such a long time, it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice. When do you want to hear his voice? Today. Yesterday? Today. Tomorrow? Today. I want to hear it tomorrow, but you know, tomorrow's not here. Is that right? Where are we at? We are in today. The rest is today. Watch what it says. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. See, when they moved into the promised land, he's talking about Joshua, and they got into the promised land, did they give him another day? No, they went by the law, which said the Sabbath day. But God is talking about a spiritual law that you've entered into through Christ. He says this. If Joshua had given them rest, afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Everybody said rest. Rest. There remains a rest of the people of God, for he who has entered into his rest has himself also, what? Ceased from his works as what? As God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter into that rest. How do you enter in that rest? What did Jesus say? Learn of me. Learn about me. Learn about me. Let us be diligent to learn about Jesus so that the entrance of the rest can open wide to you. Say, man, God, you've got it all taken care of. Amen. Do you know that God already knows about, I was talking to somebody this morning. God already knows the I-20. Is that right? What's that cell phone? What cell phone are we at?
The I-11.
God already knows what the I-20 looks like. It's this big. He already knows. Can I tell you, he knows, because from the foundation of the world, oh, you got to catch this. You got to understand. When God looked at his creation on that sixth day, this is what, he didn't say this. The word of God says that he saw that it was good. No, he said, he saw, he didn't say, he saw that it was very good. Amen? Very good. I love it. I believe that God not only saw what he had created on the sixth day, but he went all the way down here to the end of all things, and he looks and he says, yeah, it's all good. It is good. That's why he didn't destroy all of us. That's why Noah survived the flood, because God says the design is perfect. It just doesn't know it. But all the way down here, when he saw from the beginning, he goes, ah, it's good. It's a done deal. Can I tell you, your life is wrapped up in that. It's already a done deal. He already knows. All you have to do is rest. Just rest in what he's said and what he's done. Just rest. Ooh, let me tell you. The end of the first day, there was a morning and an evening. How many of you guys remember that? This is creation. The end of the second day, there was a morning and there was an evening. Don't believe me. Go look this up. End of the third day, there was a morning and an evening. End of the fourth day, there was a morning and an evening. End of the fifth day, there was a morning and an evening. And the day that he created man, on the sixth day, there was a morning and an evening. The Bible says, and on the seventh day, God rested. He rested. Look in your Bible. Go to your Bible and check this out. You will not see the morning and the evening of that day. That day is open. And we're in it. Do you hear it? We are in the rest. People talk about the Saturday or Sunday. No, oh no, we like Wednesday night, whatever. That's the Sabbath. No, that's not the Sabbath. They're fighting about what day it is. God is saying, no, it's today. Do you not understand that you are in the rest of God if you'll rest with me? Just rest with me is all he's saying. Isn't that cool? I mean, that's cool. How many want to rest with God? How many are resting with God? Can I tell you? The more things happen to me, the Word of God tells us that we're going to go through tribulation. Is that right? How many know that? The more things happen to you, the more I have learned to rest on God. Pastor John was telling me the other day, I look back, something that bothered me so bad 10 years ago, I'm thinking, he took me through it. It's gone, past, and folks, today is the day of rest. Amen. Bring you back to Elijah. Here's a man, he says, man, the Lord said, go sit by the river or by the little brook, Cherith, and sit there, and birds are going to come and feed you. And you can drink from the brook. Elijah says, okay. Man of rest goes over there, sits down. God told him about it. It's cool, God. You know, a little McDonald's every week. The birds are bringing me McDonald's. Breakfast Mac, what's that called? But the brook dries up, and the Lord tells him again, go. Zarephath, there's a woman there. I've called her to sustain you. Elijah, go over there. He goes over there, and sure enough, just like God had said, amen? But notice something. Something God didn't tell him about. The lady's son dies. God said nothing about it, did he? And what I like about this story, it just shows me that Elijah's just a lot like me. Because he didn't get, he goes, whoa. Give him to me, and he takes him up and puts him in his bedroom and lays him on the bed, and he stretches himself on him three times. But he tells God, did you do this? Isn't that like us? Could it be that, you know, because he didn't say, God told him about the first two things, but God told him nothing about this little boy dying, said nothing. But yet God was in it all. Is that right? Wasn't he in it all? He was there. And that's the way God sometimes will tell us, brother, son, I'm going to do this with you, okay? I'm going to do this with you. But then sometimes he doesn't tell us about those little things, those other things, and yet we, but God, because Elijah, you know, it's a good thing that woman didn't hear him calling out to God saying, hey, dear, why would you do this, God? Why would you kill him? She didn't hear it. Well, she might have, but she didn't hear him. But right after his complaint to God, he said, Lord, bring his soul. He cried to the Lord and said, bring his soul back. Can you, Lord, I know you can do that. Bring his soul back. And I think that's all God was asking for. Yeah, this situation, just rest in me. Just ask. And he asked, and the little boy raised from the dead. Isn't that cool? Ooh, come on. There's things that God maybe hasn't said to you about that are headed your way. The Word of God tells you to rest. Just rest. God says, I already know about it. It's heading your way. I already know about it. You'll be fine. Trust me. How many say amen? Trust me, he says. Amen. Hallelujah. Two more scriptures. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 7. Oh, man. This is what Isaiah chapter 30. I mean, it's a good chapter, man. If you get a chance to read it, talks about God is saying, hey, man, woe to the man that puts a cloak on himself other than my spirit. Can I tell you, God wants us clothed with the spirit. And he says, but in the word of God, he says, the Egyptians shall help in vain. How many know the world can't help you? How many say amen to that? I mean, I don't know how many commercials you can count in 1 hour, but there are lawyer commercials coming on every, man, you call 1-800, I don't know. I think I was doing a paint jingle. Anyway, but it was, for the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore, I have cried concerning, this is the Lord saying this, their strength is to do what? Sit still. Learn to rest. Next verse is verse 17, is that right? 15. 30 verse 15 says this, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and what? Rest. Rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. He was telling the Israel, and he says, but you wouldn't do it. Folks, we're not the kind of, hopefully we're not the kind of people that won't do it. Won't rest in Jesus. How do you get rest? Learn of Jesus. Learn of me. Amen. Can you stand up? I'm gonna pray real quick, and then we're gonna exit out to go get changed, because we've got some baptisms to do, man. And I'm excited about baptism. How many of you are excited about baptism? I am. I love it, man. You know, it's not the baptism that saves you. It's what it's representing. That the old man is standing, and he goes underwater, and he leaves everything, and he comes back, and he's a new creature in Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And sometimes, listen, sometimes we go through stuff. We say, hey, I want to do it again. I just want to do it again. I just want to get some of this stuff off one more time. And it's okay to get baptized again. I remember when I got saved, I must have said the sinner's prayer with Jimmy Swaggart. You guys remember Jimmy Swaggart? Every weekend, probably for about a month and a half, to finally the Holy said, okay, all right, you're good. I said, what? I'm crying. Lord, forgive me. It finally sunk in that God had forgiven me. And this represents, all it's just a representation of the old man going underground, being crucified in Christ and then resurrected up out of the water for new life. It's just a beautiful representation. And I thank God for all the time we do it. We had nobody yesterday. Isn't that right, Pastor? That's right. Pastor John's asked me, you got anybody? I said, no. Because you're going to put it up. Yeah, I'm going to put it up. We'll see what happens. And praise God. Oh, God always draws. He always draws. Amen. Let's pray. I'm going to pray for you this morning. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ. God, I thank you, Lord, that you have given rest in Christ, in Jesus. And Father, you desire for us to enter in that rest. And Lord, we know it's not a day, for today is the day that we are to enter into your rest today. While it is said today, Lord, we enter into your rest, Lord. So Lord, thank you for watching over us. Thank you for watching over your people. Thank you for taking care of them, for providing for them. And Father, thank you, Lord, for drawing them back to you, to where they're safe, to where there's comfort and rest, God. So thank you for that, Father, this morning. I give you all the praise and all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. We're going to stop and get dressed so we can do the baptism. Hey.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.